Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
God always answers prayer. How does he answer? Yes, no, or wait. But when you go to God in prayer and ask him for something, your number one request before you ask for any specific thing should be, not my will, your will be done. And then ask him for what he's trying to give you so that it matches up.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope and insight for you. And in today's broken world, that is something everyone is desperate to hear. Richard shares unapologetically the truth of the Bible in a way that's clear, relational, and uplifting. So thank you for taking this time to listen. We know it will bless you. And when you have a moment, you might want to check out our website so we can stay connected with you, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is To Not Fall Prey. So we're going to talk about praying, but we're also going to talk about why one of the main reasons you do pray. 1 Peter 5:8, anybody know what that says? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So somebody doesn't mean you well. John 10:10, I'd probably quote that more than anything. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil's not on your side. He better not be on your inside, because you can't be a Christian and have him on your inside. And he hates you. He doesn't want good for you. And it's not enough for him that you became a Christian. He says, oh, well, we'll just leave the Christians alone. He is interested in taking you out. Okay? So let's start in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 26. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. And then this simple statement. Then men begin to call on the name of the Lord. First time, here we go. Now you say, well, creation has been around, Adam and Eve, you know, why all of a sudden now? You would think they'd have been praying a whole lot earlier. But all of a sudden, they start praying, they start calling on the name of the Lord. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Now you say, well, of course that's true. It's not true, it's true, but it's only true in your life if you make it true in your life. If you run to some illicit relationship, drugs, alcohol, whatever your previous life was, then this stuff doesn't kick in. Not in this way. Go to Psalm 145:18. And I can't put it much more plainly than he's put it here. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. You would think that the first thing we would think to do would be to pray, but unfortunately, things have to get really bad for some people before they will pray. Why don't you pray first? Well, I got it. I can handle it. It's not too much. And then you realize it's too much. Don't get in so deep where the enemy has already got you in his grasp, and then you start screaming for help. Start screaming for help before he even gets near you. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and down in verse 5. And all of these things that he mentions in Matthew 6, when you give alms, when you pray, when you fast, there's not an if in any of this. And when you pray, so he's assuming we're going to pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So if that is you, the way you pray, your reward is being seen and heard, and that's it. You say, well, I'm praying. You're probably not going to get what you're praying for. What you're really after is somebody to hear you and see you pray. But then what does he say to do? But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what does that mean? You pray something in the secret place, and then he answers it, and you go, there's no way that could happen if it wasn't for him. Right? I didn't manipulate anything. This is why I encourage people to be as specific as possible with your prayers. Don't just do random prayers. Because then when he shows up with something, you say, wow, I didn't tell anybody these details but him, and he showed up with the detailed request. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. The number of words you use praying does not in any way affect the efficacy of the prayer. Right? If you just go on and on and on, drone on and on, and there are religions out there, you know, that get you counting stuff and just going through the motions, and you think, well, is that what God's into? Clearly, he's not into that. My mom used to say, help Jesus help. Help Jesus help in a closet from your heart goes a long way. Verse 8, therefore do not be like them, and then this statement, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. So this has been the perplexity for me a long time, and I'm sure possibly for you. If he already knows what I need, why do I have to tell him what I need? Does anybody want to take a crack at that? He wants to hear my voice. He wants a relationship with me. So you say, well, I don't want to talk to God. Well, then don't be shocked if you fall prey to whatever the enemy's got for you, because he's going to talk to you. And unfortunately, we do more talking back to the devil saying yes than we do to God saying no to the enemy. And then these next verses, in this manner, therefore, pray. It's not about how many words. It's not vain repetitions. It's not in public trying to be seen. This is how you pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. So he's saying what? To pray. And this is where you get the Our Father. But some people turn the Our Father, we call this prayer the Our Father, and we just start droning on about this. We repeat this instead of really praying. And if you really stop and think about this, he didn't teach us to pray my Father. He taught us to pray Our Father. So you immediately are reminded that you're not by yourself, right? It's not my Father, okay, it's just me and God. The second you say Our Father, it's us and him. I'm already just like that, not by myself. So let's go through this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So you start with worship, praise, revering him. Now, if I were writing this stuff, I would have started with, Our Father, I am such a screw up, right? Why would you go to God in prayer if you have sin in your life and start with, hallowed be your name? And you already know you've got sin to confess. You start with who he is, not what you've done. Okay? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. That's the rule and reign. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my little kingdom come and my will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And that would simply means I want you to run things in my life and here like things are run in heaven. And let me tell you something I know about heaven. When God speaks, heaven moves. There's not, well, Lord, could we talk about this and have a meeting and vote? There ain't no vote. When he speaks, angels move, right? So he wants it, and what you're saying in this prayer is, that's how I want it down here in my life. When you speak, I say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and here we go. First time obedience, let's do this. Give us this day our daily bread. Now you say, well, do you pray this prayer every day? I recommend it. Why? Because even in the prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. So don't pray this on the day. Just don't pray it on the days you don't want food. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We have a forgiveness class around here, and people's lives completely change because finally they understand that you might be not experiencing the forgiveness from God because you're unwilling to give forgiveness to someone else. And if you pray this prayer, that's what you told God. Forgive me as I forgive. And if I don't forgive, shut me off. And then this next verse, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, why is that in there? I thought God couldn't be tempted. He doesn't tempt anyone. If you don't pray stuff like this, then God will allow you to end up somewhere where you're being tempted and the evil one is after you. So if you pray something like this when you wake up in the morning, and in that phrase especially, what you're saying is, God, look, you don't have to lead me. You don't have to let me get into some situation where I'm being tempted where then I call on you. I'm already here. I don't need that. I'm signing in. I'm yours. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You don't have to lead me in that. And I'm asking you right now to deliver me from the evil one. And if you don't pray this, then God allows things to happen to cause you to call on him. He's like, we could have settled this morning, right? Tell him you want no interest in temptation. You want no interest in the enemy having access to your life. And unfortunately, if God blesses us, we tend to drift away. But when we're in trouble, we tend to come back. But why do you have to drift away or have something happen to bring you back? Just stay with him, okay? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go to Matthew 26:40. Very interesting if you get into this. Then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. So this is where Jesus has gone into the garden, leaves eight, takes three, leaves three, goes by himself in Gethsemane and prays. And he comes to the disciples and found them sleeping. You say, well, they were tired. They're sleeping. The problem is not that they were sleeping. This is what the problem is. What could you not watch with me 1 hour? How many of you have trouble praying for 1 hour? And my hand's up, right? Why is that? We fall asleep. A lot of people at night. Dear Jesus, you know, and you're gone. I'll tell you what helps me tremendously. I am more comfortable praying about specific things out loud. So if you're struggling with praying and you just get in your head, start praying out loud. I've confessed multiple times, I didn't pray with my wife for years, and when I pray with her now, I pray out loud and make sure I use the term, thank you for my amazing wife, because I can be in a lot of trouble if I leave that phrase out. And it's not a vain repetition, it is actually true. So pray out loud. And people say, well, I'm afraid I'm gonna say the wrong thing. Saying the wrong thing is better than saying nothing, right? And if you love him because you know he loves you, let me tell you something about love. I've seen men say crazy stuff to women because they were in love. Men that didn't know what to do or say, just falling all over themselves trying to express something they can't get out, but they're not going to not try because they want a relationship with that woman. Women tend to do a better job at this. Men are a mess, especially when they fall in love. You fall in love with Jesus, you're going to figure out a way to talk to him. And I would encourage you to stop trying to give speeches. God is not interested in speeches. He is interested in hearing your voice, your heart. So he says, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what are you supposed to do? Watch and pray. So if they had been praying, not falling asleep, they wouldn't have fallen into the mess they got into, where Peter within hours is saying, I told you, you know, three times, then the rooster crows, I told you I don't even know the man. That's a problem. You say, well, wow, that was terrible. Peter shouldn't have done that. Then why do we do that at work, everywhere we go? If you watch and pray, you will not deny him as much. You don't watch and pray, then you get in a situation and you haven't been communicating with him, you don't know him very well, so it's no big deal to deny him. Luke 11. Now, this is the same prayer, the Our Father, but I'm going to read you some stuff in Luke 11 around it. Now, it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. The disciple did not say, teach us how to pray. Their problem was they just weren't praying, period. Now, let me tell you something about praying. You may not pray, you will. Because if you do not pray, you will fall into temptation, your life will become a disaster, you will be in such a mess that you will call on him finally, but then you got all the nonsense and the consequence that comes with that. Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, and he goes through the Our Father, the prayer, and then look what he goes into. Verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give it to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give it to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So what is the implication of that? Hey, dude, friend showed up. We got no food. Can you get me some bread? I'm not coming to the door. We got everybody in the bed, not coming. You say, oh, okay, sorry to bother you. No, you need bread. What are you going to do? Hey, go away. Hey. So God is saying, don't give up. Wear me out. Now, why would you do that? Because if you ask God for something, then you quit asking, you apparently didn't really need it or want it. You quit. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Now, I don't know why he set it up this way, but you find out something about yourself. It's not that big a deal to me. I'm going to quit asking. Another example here. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Of course, what kind of lunatic would you be? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You say, well, I've been asking for something and it hadn't happened. God always answers prayer. How does he answer? Yes, no, or wait. But when you go to God in prayer and ask him for something, your number one request before you ask for any specific thing should be, not my will, your will be done. And then ask him for what he's trying to give you so that it matches up. And if you say, well, I'm not very good at praying, you'll get better if you pray. Luke 22:31. And this is Jesus talking to Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. That's one thing to talk about us praying for situations. But when Jesus says that he's praying for us, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So I'm letting him have at you to sift you as wheat, to separate this stuff out. And then in Luke 22:40 and 42, at the end of that, he's praying three times, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And finally in 42, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Even Jesus is praying, if there's a way to take this cup away, then do that. But the bottom line is, not my will, your will be done. So you go to God and say, this sickness, this situation, whatever your deal is, you say, Lord, if there's a way for this to be fixed, I'm asking for that. But more than that, not my will, your will be done. I won't give you this whole story, but I know a woman right now who fled Cuba. She came here. Her husband has his papers, and she and her daughter don't, and it's never gotten sorted out. And so had the best attorneys, went to a foreign immigration judge, and he's deporting her to Ecuador with her daughter. Does that sound like good news? No. You say, well, that's terrible. Do you know what she said? What do you think she said? I'm not messing with God's will for my life. If he wants me in Ecuador, has a reason for me being there, I will go to Ecuador. Be careful wanting something for someone that you want more than God wants for them. He has a plan. Let him work his plan. Stop getting in the middle of it. Because her immediate response, and I know this woman, you say, well, that can't be God's will. What do you know about his will? Pray for his will. Your will, not my will, your will be done. Because everybody was praying that that would not happen, and it happened. You say, what's going to happen? She may end up in Ecuador, and God has a purpose. Stop complaining when God answers your prayer. Trust him. So here's your homework. Read John 17. In John 17, it was Jesus, before he left the planet, even before he's crucified, before he left the planet, verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given to me, for they are yours. Down another verse, in 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. That they may all be one as you, Father, and are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. If Jesus prayed and he's God, you're not going to get around this. And now he ever lives to make intercession. So every day, all day, seated at the right hand of the Father, he is praying for me. He's praying for you. And sometimes the biggest prayer might be, give him the wisdom to yield. Yield. Submit. Don't have authority issues. That's what gets me in trouble. Ephesians 6, two or three more. Ephesians 6, this is about the armor of God. But if you read this whole list about putting on the whole armor of God, verse 11, and you get down to verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So this whole thing, prayer doesn't prepare you for the battle. Prayer is the battle. That's the battle. So praying always, always. I'm a fan, and I'll read you this in a second, of the praying without ceasing. I don't recommend you get up in the morning and say a prayer and then go about your day. Call him, put it on speaker, don't mute it, and let it ride. then all day long. He may not be saying anything, you may not be saying anything, but when it's time for him to say something, you're already listening. And if he says things like, speak to that person, what's the answer? Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. And you're already on your way over there. Instead of having to dial it up and take it off silent. How many Christians put their prayer life on silent or mute it or just turn it off? But what do we know about phones now? Even if you turn them off, they're still pinging. Well, I've just shut God out. You become a Christian, he moves in, he's not going anywhere. You are still pinging. And you don't have to worry about your bill being paid. That's the cross. He will keep it where he can communicate with you. And then I reference this, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Now, I will tell you something about this praying without ceasing. If I get in a car, what a mess. What a stinking mess. I need help. I really do need help. I probably need counseling of some kind. I was coming over a bridge the other day. Everybody's just minding their own business. But this little car accelerated just a little bit too much for me in a lane two over. I was like, oh, you want to race? He didn't want to race. What are you doing? Oh, yeah, he wants to race. Now you're all bowed up and racing. Right? I need a driver. There we go. Right, yeah. So there you... Now, you can say all you want to. You keep talking about driving. Dude, you got an issue. We all got issues. Some of you can't have a discussion in your house without the F-bomb Air Force flying through your home. Right? If you're praying without ceasing and they start to fly through your house, you go, no, wait a minute. We're not doing this anymore. I'm not using these words on you, and you're not going to use them on me. We're going to figure it out his way. We're going to communicate with him. We're going to communicate with each other. We're not doing this the rest of our lives. So if you pray without ceasing, there are people that go into department stores, any kind of store, and they're not coming out without something they didn't pay for. You say, oh, those people don't exist. What do you think it's in the Bible for? There's thieves in this room. I'm not doing a show of hands. Just check if you're missing something. It's probably them. Their heart races. They get in a store, see something they want, and it'll be exhilarating to just figure out a way to put it in their bag and get out and get away with it. If you're praying without ceasing, before you even go in the store, you go, Lord, you know me. So I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be thinking that. So protect me when I go in the store and I get in and out with just things I pay for. James 4, and this is back to the arguing. James 4, 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Goes back to pleasures. It's about me. It's not about him and his will. What if God's will for you is for you to suffer? Well, I don't want to suffer. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to take measures into my own hands and prevent suffering. Now you're back in control. It's not his will, it's my will be done. And then you wonder why things go so poorly. You're running your life again. You can't run your life and it ever work.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
So look at Romans 10:13. I got more verses, but we're going to shut it down. Romans 10:13. What does that verse say? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's praying. Do you realize that you cannot become a Christian without praying? God cannot save you against your will and you find out later, I became a Christian. Unless you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you cannot be saved. He can convict you, he can approach you, but until you respond by faith to what he's offering, you cannot become a Christian. You got to call on his name. And the only way you're going to do that is you realize you can't save yourself. If you were trying to save yourself, you repent, you change your mind and say, God, I can't save myself. You're the only one who can, so I'm calling on you to help me. And then he saves you. And that mean all your problems go away? He'll sort it out. He'll set it up where you have to pray till you see him on the other side. And why would he do that? Because he wants a relationship. He wants to communicate with you and you with him.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. So give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Or through our website, richardellis.com, by sending an email to us so we can stay connected with you. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or through the website, richardellis.com. Your story needs to be heard, and we're listening, caring, and encouraged. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support to join us on our mission to reach the planet. We can't do it alone and need your help on this mission. RichardEllis.com. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.